In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's already been a long service, so I shall be brief. Same as last words. Once again, here we are telling this story of a death, a story of corruption, of cowardice, of betrayal, of torture, of terror, and of a horrible death. Once again, I find it harder every year to go through the story of Holy Week, which starts today, of course, and tell this story again in its different iterations all throughout the week. Once again, we need to tell this story because it is also our story. Today is March 25th, as you all know, which is normally the Feast of the Annunciation. And I'm inspired by our beautiful reredos, whose panels are closed. And on the one side you have Mary and the babe, and on the other side you have the crucified Christ. It's a beautiful piece. Take a minute after the service to look at it. The Annunciation, the day when the Archangel Gabriel came to announce to Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." It's a rather strange story. It's even, in a way, stranger than the resurrection. The angel is asking her to consent to becoming the mother of the one we call the Word made flesh, the Son of God. In other words, the creator of a million galaxies containing, as Carl Sagan used to say, billions and billions of stars, that creator waited on a teenage girl to say yes. And if you don't think that's odd, you don't know any teenage girls. I used to have one. She turned 30 on me this year. Anyway, Mary did say yes. And the story that we are telling is also about other people saying yes as well. Specifically, Jesus, in this tortured moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he really is asking his disciples to stay with him while he's in agony, and they don't. Begging his Father to find another way, but finally saying yes. And Jesus also saying yes to the cross. We believe he had the power not to be crucified, but he knew he had to say yes to it, to die on the cross that you and I might have life. So there's Mary's yes, but there's also a whole lot of silence in this story. Start with Jesus in the womb. The silence of the womb as the Son of God gets ready to appear. Think of the silence of the Garden of Gethsemane, a heavy, pregnant silence. Maybe interrupted by the snores of the disciples, I don't know. But it's very quiet. And there's only Jesus there, struggling. One variation of the Gospel of Luke says that his blood pressure became so high with the torment, the stress, and the agony that drops of blood literally popped out of his face, which is a condition that does exist. Maybe you remember the thine agony, by thine agony and bloody sweat in the litany. Silence there. And when Jesus is in front of Pontius Pilate and the high priest, he tends not to say anything. Do you notice that? It kind of reminds me of the famous verse of Isaiah. He was like a sheep before the slaughterers. He was silent. And when he does speak, it makes them even more upset than when he's quiet. Did you notice that? He has more power in his silence than even in his words. And then, of course, there's the silence after he dies. The great Episcopal preacher, Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, The Silence of God, calls this part the culmination of the relationship between God and God's creation, where in the beginning of the Bible, God's always talking to God's people. Here, God has nothing to say. An incredible silence. And then, of course, there's the silence of the tomb. Quiet. I always think about that on Holy Saturday, next Saturday. It's very quiet in the tomb. What's happening? And then there's the resurrection. Now, I know that's for next Sunday. But in my mind's eye, the resurrection is silent too. There's no noise. And in Matthew's version, you'll remember there are temple guards. And when the resurrection happens, it says they lay down as if they were dead men and quivered with fear. A silent resurrection is even more terrifying than a big loud one. Silence. So this Holy Week that is coming up, where once again we tell this story, which gets harder and harder to tell, I invite you to remember that at your baptism, as Christians, you and I said yes to God. That God said to each one of us, "You are most favored." And we said yes to that undeserved gift of God's unconditional love for us. But also, as Christians, we will need to say yes when things are not so rosy, when there are difficult times, when there are hard times, when we are stressed out and wondering what's the right thing to do. And when it comes to us, we will need to say a hard yes, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he says to each one of us, "This is your cross, pick it up and follow me," it's always something we can beg off, you know. To go back to Mary for a minute, what if she said, "I don't think so"? We would never have heard of her. What would have happened then? Well, I guess God could have figured it out, being God. But that's not how the story goes. Because it's not only yes to God delivering Jesus in all the pain of childbirth, it's also learning very quickly that at the end, there's a terrible yes to be said too. A blade slicing through her heart as she watches her son, in John's version, being run through with a spear. So yes, for you and me. So I invite you this Holy Week to find some time to really be just silent. No music, no smartphone. I'm not waiting for a phone call, by the way. No music, no sound phones, smartphones to distract you. No television set. Total quiet. You can find a place to do it. And be quiet for as long as you can stand it. And try that over the next several days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And in that time of silence, meditate upon the yes you have already said to God. and the yes that God is going to ask of you yet again. And then we're ready. We're ready for the big one. But that's next Sunday's story. And I never get tired of telling that story. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.